Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Well, hello, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America, where we're having unseasonably warm temps for this time of year, and for that, I'm grateful. That just means winter is going to be shorter this year. The older I get, the less I tolerate it. Did I say that last week? When we were having a hurricane last Wednesday, 22 tornadoes actually touched down in this area, and that doesn't happen. I mean, that happens here in the spring, and we actually had, it was just before my show, we had lost power. All day we had 40 to 45 mile an hour sustained winds, and then they kicked up to 75 miles an hour, and then 90 miles an hour, and we were so blessed. In our little pocket of the city, we got downed limbs, but nothing that dove through the roof, and certainly not the damage surrounding us on every side, actually, because when those straight winds came through and you could feel the house shaking, and there, it was creepy. There were sirens going off. Just, they kept blowing for strong winds, severe thunderstorm. It was just crazy. And then as many of you regulars know, our power came on right before the show, and I had been so concerned about the guest and the show, and oh my God, and the power came on, and now it was dark, so I couldn't see what damage, if any, there was anyway. And then I came on, and my guest wasn't able to make it. And so I had a two-hour show. Thank God I uploaded Christmas carols because my mind was going 1,000 miles an hour. And so I know that I pontificated on, I'm not really sure what, this week. But it was crazy. It was crazy making it to the studio. And tonight, that wasn't the case. And for that, I'm very grateful, too. So after 6 months of Black Fridays and 3 months of Cyber Mondays, and now something new, a month of Super Saturdays, we're actually a couple days away from Christmas. And so I want to wish you guys Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever applies, and hope that you have great holidays. We continue to be challenged by COVID and conflicting warnings, news, quote-unquote science. My guest tonight is a scientist, and I'm going to tell you about him in just a minute. But for those of you who might be new around here, Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. And for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. So as most of you know, this is Brain Injury Radio Network. We streamed all 50 states, 49 countries. The shows go live to archive. We've been around 13 years. I've been a weekly host for 11 of the 13. I was in the original panel when he decided to go 7 nights a week. And so while we do talk about brain injury, the only requirement here is that the host have a brain injury. And for that, I qualify. Many times our guests do, but as those of you who are regulars to my show know, I often have on people that talk about, you know, we're not defined by our injury or illness. There's more to us than that. And so we're interested in a lot of different things. But there's also a lot of forms of healing that your doctor doesn't tell you about. If it doesn't come in a pill bottle and it can't be dealt within 15 minutes, I hate to sound like a skeptic there, but it's not getting better in my mind. It's getting worse from what I'm observing. You know, then there's just not an answer. And a lot of times we're just sent out on our own without anybody coordinating our care. And we go to a couple of what I call practitioners in the traditional medical model, get pill pelted, and don't find the relief that we're looking for or that we need. And so when someone comes along like my guest tonight, I am very interested in hosting them because now this isn't something that I've tried, but it is science-based. I'm going to let Tom tell you about that. But these are messages of hope because I know that a lot of listeners, caregivers, get hopeless when they've gone out and done the rounds in the traditional medical model and they've tried a lot of things, gotten a lot of frustration and aren't feeling much better. And so whenever someone like Tom comes along with an alternative or a new idea that is a healing modality, then I always love to have those people on because, like I said, you're not hearing about it from your doctor. And so tonight my guest is Tom Palladino, and he began research with Scalar Energy, inspired by various scientists, especially Nikola Tesla, the genius who invented alternating current. He was curious to learn more about the existence of an energy that was not of the electromagnetic spectrum. I've got more bio here, but, you know, I think I'm just going to bring Tom on and let him talk about it. And so meet Tom Palladino. Tom, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for showing up. Thanks so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for such a kind introduction. Good evening, everyone.
Yes. I was reading through. I'm very interested, and I don't want to, well, I'm going to go back to the beginning and say what I normally do in interviews, and I do have your questions and I will refer to them, but you know, it's kind of funny. My template, if you will, for interviews has always been kind of subjective. What happened, what was it like, and what is it like now? And if you take those three parts and apply them to anything, whether it's a survivor story, an inventor story, whether I'm interviewing a doctor, an NFL player, whoever it might be, you know, we always have a what happened, and that's something that rocked our world or got our attention. What was it like is a process area. And then what is it like now is what we're actually doing, whether that's a place in recovery or a place in healing like you're in now. So I kind of like to, that being said, start at the beginning. So if I'm not perfectly on script with your questions, normally what I do is when we talk, you're going to say some things that I either want clarity on or have a few more questions than the ones noted. Nothing you have to cram for because you're the expert, but things that help educate us. And so why don't we start at the beginning, and what made you, I mean, scalar energy, that's pretty heady stuff, you know, talking about quantum energy, scalar energy, even your electromagnetic, which I'm very interested later in talking about the differences in those, because I've recognized some problems with electromagnetic energy where that not only has the potential but is and does cause some problems that are counterproductive for healing. And so I was really interested when I read that part of your notes. And so anyway, that's not light intellectual banter. What got you interested in going down this path? What were you doing before? And then what turned you on to this?
You mentioned the key. You mentioned the Nikola Tesla, the great researcher, the father of AC electricity, who is also the father of scalar energy. When I was a youngster, I studied Tesla. I read as much as I could that was available in reference to Tesla. And with that in mind, I was enthralled with what he was doing. And I knew that that was the future, that technology was the future, in specific scalar energy. Now, to clue the audience in, Tesla is esteemed as the father of AC electricity, and that is accurate, by all means, that's accurate. But his real prowess is yet to be recognized, which will be that of scalar energy. He discovered and harnessed scalar energy, which is another energy, which in my estimation is superior to that of scalar energy. So his finest hour has yet to come. Someday he will be recognized as the father of scalar energy. And why is that important? Because scalar energy is free energy, and it supersedes in importance AC electricity.
And in his mind, was it meant to be a healing energy, or was that a twist you took? What did he mean? What was his application for that type of energy?
From what I have read, Tesla was able to power to provide wireless transmission of energy, scalar energy, to power, say, a motor, or to power a light bulb. Now, I do not believe that he was involved in the realm of health. At least I never read that. So I have taken this path of health. But nonetheless, had he had the time, I'm sure he would have had that opportunity to demonstrate that scalar energy is able to produce sound health or to improve the health of biological life.
Certainly. Well, and there's a lot of things that are created that alternative uses are found for. That's the only reason I was asking. I'm not anywhere near as well read on Tesla as you are, but a little bit, and I never remembered, reading anything that was energy related, but nothing health related. So I was interested when I, again, read your notes and was interested in what you were doing. So, okay, so you got interested in Tesla, and that science turned you on, the possibilities.
That's right.
Then what?
Yeah. And with that, then I made it a career. I decided I was going to study Tesla. I decided that this was the way I wanted to pursue my academic career. And if you will, it It's the road less traveled. By that I mean it is a science that is not taught in academia. And with that in mind, I'm fine by that. You know, it's something that I've chosen. This is, again, the path that I've chosen. But what I'm getting at is it is a new and upcoming technology. Scalar energy is a new and upcoming technology. And with that in mind, I believe that what I have discovered will someday be embraced as a healing tool for people and animals. So that has been my main focus. Now, in the future, I hope to develop free energy devices, but right now I'm working with human health and animal health.
Awesome. I love them both, humans and the animals. So that'll be wonderful. And so a lot of people then are thinking of going off to college to major in whatever they're going to major in, but what you majored in wasn't offered. So how do you progress? How do you do that then on your own? Did you have a mentor, or did you just have to embark on this search on your own?
Yeah, you're right, on my own. And it was God's will, and it was something that, looking back on, I was led by God. I was led by the Holy Spirit. And just to paint the picture, this work is embraced now as chi or prana, or some people call that zero-point energy. Okay, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. But it was really never embraced until recently. Now the world is starting to say, yes, there is merit to this. Yes, we understand that this can improve human health. Yes, we see that this has great potential. And to put that together, I am at the threshold now of introducing to the world a new healing modality. And it is done by way of custom-built instruments. Okay, I have fabricated these instruments with the help of brilliant engineers, and we're now ready to present to the world a method in which we can, amongst other things, eradicate microbes, germs, and we do it with these scalar light instruments. And it's so fascinating, and the results that we're having are so promising that, you know, I'll take this opportunity and I'll speak to the crowd tonight, and we'll get into that, and we will see the merit of this. We will see the merit.
Fair enough. So it's a light.
Yeah.
The instruments you use to transmit this energy are vis-a-vis a light. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now, to put this into context, these are custom-built scalar energy instruments, and I work with people and animals by way of a photograph. In other words, there are no in-person sessions. Well, how do we do this? Well, the way we go about this is we're able to access a person or an animal by their energy field or by their force field. And again, this is not electricity. This is the new science of scalar energy. And with the scalar energy instrument, I can access a person or an animal anywhere in the world, remotely, if you will, by way of their photograph, because their photograph carries their information code or carries their information signal. Now, for instance, you can reach a person by way of their cell phone, or you can have a handheld a radio, and that radio can receive a signal. Well, that's what we're doing with people. People don't have to be present. We send the signal to the person. We send the signal to the animal by way of their photograph. So this is the new satellite system, so to speak, in which we're able to send signals anywhere in the world by way of a person's photograph. So instead of using a cell phone or a GPS unit or a some type of a wireless computer network, we're doing this by way of a photograph of an animal or a person. And the results have been stellar. Absolutely incredible what we've achieved.
I've read, in fact, I might read a couple of those. Did you get the photo I sent you today?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I saw that. Thank you. Yes.
Well,
and we're going to start working with you tomorrow, just to let the audience know, you submitted a photograph to us. You emailed a photograph to us. And tomorrow, we will include your photograph inside the Scalar Energy instrument, and we will provide a Scalar Energy session on your photograph tomorrow. Yes.
Awesome. I want to read something in your introduction just to we learn by repetition here around here. So just to kind of, again, repeat what Tom said, it says, based on these theories, Tom was able to develop scalar energy instruments capable of harnessing and transmitting instructive energy to real human subjects remotely. This was the part. Think of this as similar to a radio broadcast with his instruments as the broadcaster and your body as the receiver. The difference is that the energy transmitted is not electromagnetic and is therefore immeasurable by traditional science. So, again, that's what he said, and this is the same thing said in a little bit different of a way. But that's how this works, and as Tom was just telling us, it doesn't have to be done like some of us are doing with our doctors now, on Zoom or, you know, something like that. He can actually do it through a photograph. So earlier today, just so the audience knows, we'll put our two lines together. Earlier today, after I was rereading Tom's notes, which I do because I book out quite a ways, so I was doing a little review, and so I kind of, as a joke to him, I sent a photograph of myself to him today and said, just in case you've got some energy you'd like to send this way, attached as a photograph. And so that's what Tom's referring to about tomorrow. You know, one of the things, and later on I'll read to you, the reason I stopped in the first place is I was going to read some of the things, and I will do that a little bit later, but there's some testimonials about many different conditions where this Tom's used this technology, and it has healed what has ailed a number of people. There's a sheet of testimonials of all kinds of different ailments and relief, healing has been had from this type of energy transmission. So I'll read to you a little bit more about that later in the programs that are involved, and then you can take advantage of a 15-day free scalar light regime that Tom's offering. And put it in the program notes, as most of you know, I always put relevant websites in my program notes that are posted all over social media. I will tell you it's scalarlight.com. I'll type it in the chat room right now, but again, it's in the program notes. You can find them at braininjuryradio.com or at my own website in aflash.org. Or it's out there on social media, pardon me, in about 35 different places. So if you're not by a pen right now, don't panic. It is written down, and you'll be able to find it and participate in this study if you'd like to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I might spell light.
If I may,
please.
Our website has 15 days of free scalar light sessions. Now, why do we do that? Well, this is a new science. Scalar energy is a new and emerging science, and we want people to become comfortable And we want people to be able to experience these sessions free of charge, without any duress, without any coercion. So anybody in the world can visit our website and upload, email us a photograph. And I'll describe in detail what that means once we receive your photograph and the healing that will be experienced by way of your photographic dimension. Now, keep in mind, we're working exclusively with a photograph inside this dimension, scalar energy dimension, what some people call the quantum field. So this is an informational system. This is an informational session in which we're sending your body information. It's non-physical is what I'm getting at. And the information that we can send is health restoring. And many people around the world, by way of their testimony, are now corroborating that there is merit to this new approach. Now, once again, this is a new and emerging science. There is no scientific protocol. Why? Because it's brand new. I'm the inventor. This is a process that I have invented. So we're at, if you will, at first grade right now. We're in first grade, and the world is starting to learn about this approach. The point I'm trying to make is, in order to make the world amenable to this, to make this accessible to people, we offer 15 days of free sessions to anybody in the world. You can sign yourself up. You can email us your photograph, your family photographs, even your pets. And in so doing, you experience this scalar energy healing in the quantum realm. And then with that groundswell of support, with a grassroots movement, that's the only way we can get this information out there to the world. It's never been done before. I'm the inventor. I have this laboratory, so to speak, that is available to the general public. And I'm now making this available to people around the world, photographic healing through the quantum realm or through a scalar energy force field. It's new. I project that this is going to be the healing of the future.
I hope so, because it's not invasive like we're used to. It's not chemical like we're used to.
Yes.
You know, none of the traditional treatment modalities. I was talking a little bit about that right before I brought you on, you know, the frustration. You know, one of the things, and just for you guys out here, a few of the conditions or diseases, and there's many more than this, like I said, later on I'll read you some testimonials, but diseases, conditions, and infections that have seen improvement or been eradicated by scalar energy pathogen cleansing, things like Lyme disease, HIV symptoms, hepatitis, herpes, MRSA, which is really incredible. Nothing kills MRSA. That's bad news. Psoriasis, chronic sinusitis, and asthma, candida, parasites, tuberculosis, which I understand they just discovered, 7-8 cases of in New York. I'll leave my opinion about that to myself. Staph infection, Epstein-Barr, malaria, cholera, typhoid fever, leprosy. And people were talking in the testimonials about the one lady was talking about arthritis. That's something that I suffer from. Even talking about things like depression. In fact, I might as long as I'm looking at these conditions, because I got a couple people in the chat room. You know, this is such a new concept that you're talking about. I just thought I'd be a little more clear about some of these different conditions. Celiac disease. Here's a person that says, during the past 3 weeks, I've been eating huge amounts of gluten to test my body and see if I can produce a reaction or a rash, and no matter what I do, I cannot reproduce the rash. This person has had a lot of sinus issues and so didn't feel like they were able to breathe very clearly. And they had a treatment, and the person says, for the first time in years, I can breathe clearly. My sinus is clearing up, and my lungs are much better. Somebody who had cold sores or herpes A since they were a child used to get cold sores a lot, constantly, and they weren't getting those. Someone who had Lyme disease has had Lyme disease for 14 years. They haven't gotten a cold since the beginning of treatment, and that's something that really undermines your immune system. And so I actually have known two people in my life that have had Lyme disease, and that's true. They pick up just about every bug that's there to be picked up. In fact, I wonder how they're faring the last 2 years, all the way from those types of things to a wart on the middle finger, a mother with arthritis, infected teeth, someone talking about depression here, kidney stones. So there's a really wide gamut treatments, of conditions that scalar energy can treat. Now, somebody in the chat room asked about, and this is something that pass on that website to your pastor. Someone's pastor has Lyme disease. I tell you, for people with Lyme disease, if there's something that can help them, they'd owe you some prayers back. So you might want to pass on that website I put in there, Ron, to your pastor, and let him be the judge of it. But that is, that's kind of what we're doing here when we introduce new treatment modalities. You know, some people aren't going to be ready or think that that's for them. You know, I had that happen once when I talked about hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And someone wound up later, after in pure frustration from going around in the traditional medical model, they went and tried it. And it was someone who had had a horrible car accident, had a terrible traumatic brain injury, had been in a wheelchair for 30 years, not out of a wheelchair in 30 years, went and got, and what was, this was interesting, you talked about God, so we'll talk about how God works for a minute and the things that blow me away, the miracles that blow me away, and I'm so fortunate to get to see and hear about them all the time doing this. But the guest I had on was from North Carolina, and they had a clinic and were talking about it because, of course, the FDA hasn't approved that treatment for people with brain injury symptoms. Couple diseases on there that you've never heard of before, and there's maybe one person in the planet that has it that it's approved for, but not for a condition that 2.5 million people a year suffer from. There's some good things, burns and those type of things. But anyway, this person, this listener, is on the other side of the country in Santa Cruz, California, and in frustration, thought back to that show, looked it up in the phone book, and he's unable to drive, and happened to find a freestanding clinic, and we had given qualifications of how you tell that they're reputable versus other, and so the guy took all of the information we gave and there happened to be a place on the public transit route 13 miles away from him. And he went and started getting treatments, and he walked, not sprung out of the wheelchair and walked the rest of his life regularly. Not that, I'm not trying to say that, but he had not been out of his wheelchair for 30 years and was actually able to get up and take steps. And to me, that's miraculous and still can. Unfortunately, what happened there is, you know, you eventually run out of money. You know, that's the kind of thing that expensive. Nothing is done in a half a dozen treatments. You're talking about a very long-term course of treatment that isn't covered, and people with certain injuries, you know, haven't been able to work or produce the same income that they did before. And so, you know, because insurance doesn't cover things that are considered experimental or that the FDA hasn't approved of, you know, it's a tough proposition because, you know, obviously the providers doing it deserve to be compensated, but the people that really need the treatment a lot of times are hard pressed. He went longer. He must have had some money rattled away because he went a lot longer than I would have thought. You know, for quite a while he went and did see results and felt better and had more energy, and that energy helped him to get up and be able to walk some steps. And so, you know, people hear about things for the first time, and whether it resonates the first time or not, later something happens and they remember. That's why it's so important to do shows like this, because everybody who's listening here is somebody who's in need of healing, or caregivers who are also in need of healing, but, you know, are looking for new forms of healing for the person they're caregiving for. And we have a lot of medical professionals listening now. You know, I wish I could find my list, but he asked about neuropathy. Numbness and nerve pain is one of the things he asked about. And neurofatigue, if I might read you just a blip, and some of these might not apply, but you have such a long list. And so some of the things, there's crossover, because obviously when I said earlier we weren't defined by our brain injury, you know, as we get older or have more experience, whatever that brain injury was, other things come up. You know, I got shingles once. And then when I got the second vaccine, I got shingles again. And so different conditions, you know, we all have different conditions, even though what brought us together here in the first place might have had to do with brain injury. But one of the things I saw in those testimonials had to do with sleep. And when we talk about neurofatigue, it's one of the most debilitating consequences of brain injury. It influences almost everything we do, both physically and mentally. And when we talk to people, a frustrating aspect of this is people who haven't been down the road of brain injury say, oh, I get tired too. And they equate it with being tired. And so there's a lot of misunderstandings and hard feelings between, you know, after a brain injury that a lot of us call the invisible disease, illness, because some people have tells, obviously, that have had brain injuries, but a lot of us don't have obvious tells. And so people have a tendency to not believe us or to think that we're exaggerating. But this little paragraph, what causes neurofatigue? The moment someone acquires a brain injury, certain things happen physiologically within that person's body and brain. The first is a loss of normal energy production from the mitochondria within the neutrons in the brain. Second, these damaged mitochondria cause the oxygen they breathe to become toxic to the brain, which results in oxidative stress. And third, this oxidative stress promotes inflammation in the brain. It is this inflammation that can ultimately lead to a variety of degenerative diseases and long-term effects if the inflammation persists. The three events underlying the development of fatigue, sleep disruption, depression, impulsivity, irritability, and cognitive decline. And they go on, and what they liken this to, and the only reason I'm reading this is the talk of energy, because, well, I'm just going to go ahead. If you're healthy, when you wake up in the morning, your battery is fully charged with energy. By afternoon, some energy has been used up on mental activities, but you still have a lot of energy left. By evening, a substantial part of your energy has been used, and when you sleep at night, your battery has the opportunity to recharge itself so that you have renewed energy the next day. In the person with the brain injury, when they wake in the morning, their battery is only partially charged, as that is all it's capable of being. By afternoon, after a few mental activities, the battery is almost empty. In the evening, or sometimes even before that, the battery is completely drained. Then at night, their body tries to recharge itself, but they don't have a very powerful battery to begin with, so it can't fully recharge. That's what living with a brain injury and neurofatigue is like. So, you know, that was a piece that I found a long time ago just to help listeners explain, just like you explained the broadcaster and the receiver, is the battery. Everybody's got a cell phone these days, and they know what it's like to have a full battery, and they know what it's like when that battery starts running down. And I thought that in that reading was a great analogy, because that's about what happens, you know. And for me, it's not Snickers time like we used to see in the commercials. What was that, like 4 p.m. or something? It is about 4 p.m. for me, that whatever I've done from the time I've gotten up until about 4 p.m. has taken my battery down to nothing or close to it. I'm mentally fatigued and starting to make mistakes. That's when I can tell. You know, I start transposing letters when I'm typing, or my husband will ask me a question and I'll give him an unrelated answer. Yeah, I had the answer in my brain, but it came out of my mouth in a different way. That's when I can tell. And then physically, I feel more tired and am more apt to be distracted and you know, bump into the wall while I'm going down the hallway. But in any case, it's that time of day that I need to lay down for a while and recharge, and then I'm fine. You know, I'm here till late at night, and I think, well, I don't think it was you. It was another guest I was talking to the other night that I said I got a lot of work done at this time of night, and he said, boy, are you a night owl? And I said, well, with a qualifier, yeah, you know, I am. But that's because my battery's gotten recharged, you know, enough to carry me the rest of the way. So for things like that, a lot of people around here will have depression, chronic anxiety, and or PTSD on the mental side of things from what's happened to them, or the result of living with what's happening, you know, happened to them, or the result of going out and searching around the traditional medical model for things to help. And then chronic pain issues are very common here, because when we've had, you know, an injury, often arthritis will develop out of that, or scar tissue, or numbness and nerve pain. A lot of times it's nerve pain. So physical pain conditions as well as emotional and mental conditions. And all of those are worse when you have sleep issues. So my hope would be someday, if not now, that this type of treatment could be adapted to being like a quick external charge, you know, for our phone. If you've got one of those, you know, it takes a long time when I just plug my phone in with the regular cord to charge it up. But I bought this thing called an external charger, and whew, you know, it charges the battery up in, you know, 15 minutes or something. It was a miracle. And because I'm on my phone a lot, so the charge goes down too. So that example really resonated. But I'm going to quit talking for a minute. I just gave you a couple examples so that you knew, because there's a lot of things that are on the list I read that people around here suffer from. But things like sleep issues, chronic pain, depression, anxiety. Do you find that when scalar energy, and you talked about it having healing properties for people and animals, I don't know, well, I know animals, not everybody knows this, but some people think that differently about animals. I don't, but they obviously get, is scalar energy designed primarily for physical ailments, or does it dovetail over into the psychological, mental issues? Although I do have a theory that if some of the physical things were taken care of, it would really mitigate some of the psychological and mental things, just a guess.
You know, as a primal force in nature, scalar energy factors into everything, including the spiritual, the cognitive, the emotional, the physical. So what I have experienced now, and this is from my vantage point as a researcher, what I've seen in people, I've seen spiritual, cognitive, emotional, and physical healing. And that lends me to this statement that as this life force energy, which scalar energy is a universal energy, that it's everywhere. Every biological system experiences this energy. This is going to be the tool for spiritual, cognitive, emotional, and physical healing in the future. And I say that with a guarded statement and with a great deal of research to back that up. I say that because, again, this is a fundamental force in nature that is the cause of the spirit, the mind, the emotions, and the body. When I refer to scalar energy, it's an information system. It really is the mind of God. It's the perfect information system of the universe that instructs the spirit, the mind, the emotions, and the body. And what I've discovered with this energy, it's corrective, that this intelligence is corrective, and that when I'm working with a scalar energy instrument, in some capacity, it's correcting an abnormality, a disease condition, a what we might consider a phobia or mm-hmm. even a vice at this spiritual, cognitive, emotional, and physical level. I know those are bold statements, but I hold to that because this is the cause of the spiritual, the cognitive, the emotional, the physical realm. I am working with what Nikola Tesla called the wheel work of nature, which are the instructions, which is the motif or the template of the universe. So I have tapped into this field, this quantum field that provides instructions or information. It's the perfect information system. And if you can control a perfect information system, then you can render what? Perfect instructions to the spirit, the mind, the emotions, and the body. Now, I've not perfected that, but I'm well on my way to perfecting it. And there are certain functions, if you will, certain ways that I can manipulate this energy to show an improvement in the spiritual, cognitive, emotional, and physical realm. It is quite promising. And as time will allow, I will continue on with my research to perfect my approach. I'm firmly convinced that with this perfect intelligence, we can render, the outcome will be perfect health. I hold to that statement. I'm working with perfect energy, perfect instructions. That's what scalar energy is. It's the mind of God. And with this perfect instructions, we will eventually be able to have a perfect outcome, which will be the perfect soul, the perfect mind, the perfect emotions, and the perfect body.
Wow. That would be really nice. I thought that only happened after we left the human plane, but wouldn't that be great?
You're right. Let me add to that. I'm a firm believer in heaven. I come from a Christian background. I believe there is a heaven, and I believe one of the characteristics of heaven is you find perfect information or perfect energy, which is perfect light. What am I getting at? In heaven, there's 100% scalar energy. That is the cause of this perfection. You're in a dimension it's perfect intelligence. There cannot be disease or death. And so to get to that point, a scalar energy instrument is a stepping stone to heaven. But I'm glad you brought that point up.
Well, and to piggyback for a minute on what you just said, and I'm not going to get into my story, but when I was in a coma, I had a near-death experience. And when you talk about the energy, maybe I know more than I think I know. Maybe I was blessed to experience it. But I, without going into the whole thing, I guess I can just say that my spirit, I believe, left my body, the human carrying case for the spirit, it left. And as I ascended and I was being pulled, it was perfect because there wasn't any fear and there wasn't any pain. And there was just a grand sense of wonder. And my experience started out with color. A color. And as anyway, as I was going that direction, I was not aware, you know, of what was behind me at all. And I don't consider it to be, I don't judge other people in this way. If they say they've been to heaven and come back, the way that I would look at what happened to me is that if you wanted to liken it to the pearly gates or the front porch or enough to get a glimpse, my personal feeling is that once you've crossed over that you don't come back. That's my own personal feeling. But you can be on your way there, definitely, and be shown a glimpse. And in being shown a glimpse, it's of that perfection where it's pure energy that isn't diluted, polluted, however you would want to phrase it, with any of the things that we deal with in the human existence. It's a completely different feeling, and it was very appealing. It was also a lot lighter, you know, maybe in that particular case because my body was very heavy, you know, with pain and going through dying, you know, that when my spirit got cut loose, drawn out is more a more accurate way to phrase it. It was, yeah, pure energy. And I didn't really think of it that way until you were talking, but that experience was all about pure energy. I haven't felt that on Earth. And so until you continued talking, and then it's kind of like dawning on me, okay, I do get that because of an experience that I had. So
that's a scalar energy event. You saw the light. You were immersed in perfect light, in perfect happiness. You were outside of this existing realm of the electromagnetic realm. That's why this research is so important. It introduces the world to the angelic realm, to the heavenly realm. That's what you experience. But mark my word, that out-of-body experience was a scalar energy event.
Yeah, now I understand it as such, which is another piece to my own puzzle. And, you know, the people that go through these things and the why not, why me, why not me thing, I didn't do any of that. I just accepted what it was for what it was. And, you know, when I arrived, I saw what I call familiars. And I this is my own theory of why I don't think that I crossed over all the way, because now this is just obviously my opinion and my takeaway from my experience, is that ultimately when we're all energy, I think it's kind of, I don't know, grandiose or naive to think that we're going to be walking around looking like we do right now. When I arrived from the journey, my body to the first stop, if you will, I saw people in different period dress in a, like a big grassy field with blue sky and a white pillowy cloud went floating through, and I was observing, much like somebody who goes to a party and you're not sure if you know anyone yet, so you're kind of hanging back observing. That's what I was doing. And so I'm observing these different things, and the people, while I recognize them as people and the period clothing, and then like a lot of people see someone they know, I saw my grandfather and took a step forward because I was drawn to that energy and I wanted to go there. So I smiled and took a step, and boom, it was as if I had hit plexiglass and I was back in my body. But basically what he transmitted to me at that time is that it wasn't my time. And so you know, you can surmise, anybody could surmise anything they wanted. My ex-husband surmised that it was the drugs from my surgery, a good part of the reason why we're not together anymore. I knew that that was real, call it scalar energy, near-death experience, whatever one would, by any other name, okay? I knew what happened to be as true to the fiber of my being and soul as the sun coming up in the morning. So I had no reason to sell it, argue it, or be in the same place anymore with somebody who couldn't go there or at least believe me. And not in a way of, I believe that you believe that that's the truth, but it was really about anesthetic. Well, yeah, okay. I did some partying when I was younger. This was not, scalar energy is nothing like that. Okay, so no explanation for that. But I just think that familiars appear perhaps to bring us even more comfort as we're on our way in the process of making the transition.
Okay.
Not that there is any fight in me anyway. Like I said, this whole thing on that journey, I wasn't afraid. I was energized and had the curiosity of a child looking at everything around me that at that point was lights. Lights.
Yes. Everything is light. Yes. There is no,
yeah,
there is no shadow. It's impossible to have darkness. Go on.
So then when I get there, you know, it's a light day, and like I said, it presented like something I might see on the human plane, like a Sunday social with people in different period dress there. And so I saw familiar things. And again, I'm just in awe and innocence and observation of this energy going on in front of me. And then saw familiar energy, which drew me to move forward. And he didn't have to say the words. They were like telepathically. I just understood what his eyes said to mine when our eyes met, and that was, it's not your time yet. And so in spite of the fact that I wanted to stay in that energy, you know, and I didn't talk about it for a long time after, immediately after it happened, because I got reactions like the one, not my mom believed me, but, you know, people like my ex who didn't believe me, I just didn't go there. But, you know, there was opportunities that were presented to me where I could help someone by sharing my experience, someone who was losing someone or someone who had just lost, excuse me, who had just lost someone. I was able to tell them my truth. And it brought them comfort to know. And so if it was just to give...
Beautiful story.
Oh, well, thanks. It's just my story. It was God's deal, not my deal. I just knew to accept it and never fought it, you know? I mean, it passed my mind when I was being told otherwise, but not in a way where, you know, you really like second guess yourself or spend any time at all trying to rethink something, because like I said, it was so real, what was presented, that I intuitively knew it was presented with intent and that I was meant to have that journey, to have that energy injection, if you will. And that I would have some knowledge myself that would serve me, and that by being blessed with that gift, I'd be able to share it back then at the appropriate times, and now from time to time when something comes up like this, because it resonated with me when you, there was something you said, you've been talking about the scalar energy throughout the interview, but there was something you said that it was like an awakening of another part of my own experience, I guess. So I didn't mean to jump into your interview and your information, but that's really, no pun intended, enlightening. Thank you.
Well, we've come full circle here. So what are we working with? We're really working with the energy of God, the light of God. And I believe Tessa saw this. Tessa was working with AC electricity, which is a wonderful invention. It's a wonderful pursuit, electrical engineering. But what many people don't realize, the remainder of his life, the latter part of his life, he was no longer working with AC electricity. Tesla was working with scalar energy. He saw the benefits of scalar energy. And with all of that in mind, oh my goodness, he devoted himself to this career of scalar energy. And he developed scalar energy instruments that far surpassed the ability of an electrical instrument, so to speak. So the point being is that Tesla, the founding father of scalar energy, God bless him, introduced to the world this new modality, if you will, this new dimension of scalar energy, which is synonymous with other terms such as quantum energy or chi or prana. But most appropriately, it's God's energy. It's a divine energy. And this energy is going to change the world. It's incredible what we have learned from this energy, what we can do with this energy in application. So I encourage everybody to pay attention to this new and upcoming technology that will change the world. It will change the way we live.
I want to ask you just a couple quick questions that actually were in your press kit about electromagnetic energy and the difference, why you wanted to explore the scalar energy. And it says in here, not almost like you didn't want to go down a route of electromagnetic energy. And I wondered, well, I know that, Tesla's the one that got you engaged in scalar energy, and then you seeing the possibilities about using that energy to heal. But I just wanted to mention in the electromagnetic field, you know, that has seemed to, and people aren't realizing it yet, but again, I've got another, I think there's some science out there, but I'll just leave it at I have an intuitive thought right now that, you know, a lot of us have certain metal in our body. In my case, you know, that's saved my brain, and it's adverse to electromagnetic energy, and pacemakers, people with pacemakers, you know, should not be in that kind of energy. And I've heard a lot of people call, as I'm watching more and more of these 5G towers go up that a lot of people think are a miracle. You know, unfortunately, they're calling us the Silicon Prairie now, because I say unfortunately because I'm mad at social media, but Facebook, Amazon, Google, Yahoo, did I say Google? And LinkedIn have all set up these ominous-looking buildings. Interestingly, they're against walls, but they have electric walls around their spooky-looking complexes. But the point is, next to them, they have these huge electrical spaces where there's tons of 5G towers and then kinds of electricity that I don't even know what they are. But I've heard a couple people that I know that have had brain injuries or had other types of health issues mention, and I was just quiet. I didn't prompt them or anything. I didn't do it. But they've said there's a certain highway that was all cornfields that they took out to put in a cluster of the Amazon and Facebook art out there in particular with big compounds that you can't get into. You would have thought they were government buildings, and then I found out what they were. But people who feel nauseous or get a really blasting headache, or what else have I heard? Anyway, a variety of reactions that are negative physically when they drive through that area.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
In the vicinity. Yeah.
Okay. I'm
dizzy.
Hearing
I've heard
of
dizzy
similar
too.
Stories. Yeah, I'm hearing of similar stories. Yes. Yes. This is very disconcerting. Let's just be blunt about it. This is happening with a greater occurrence than what we could ever imagine. This is indeed a problem that many people are experiencing around the world when in the vicinity of these towers. And
yeah.
I would say, and I've heard this from many people, that likewise they have adverse reactions when they are around this high concentration of 5G. Now, to cut to it, this is a new and upcoming technology. Not enough research has been done to substantiate the long-term effect here. But what we're looking at is it's an experiment. Let's just face it. What we're looking at is an experiment, and this experiment is going to prove to be deleterious to our health. These 5G towers have such a high frequency, and frequencies that we are not familiar with, and we've never been exposed to this before, that this is going to cause some type of medical condition, some type of ailment. And it does raise alarm. And I've heard from many people that they are having adverse reactions in the vicinity of these 5G towers. So time will tell just to how dangerous this new type of technology proves to be.
Well, I'm hoping that another thing you can do in healing is maybe redirect. It's like battle of the energies. But,
yes.
Because, you know, right now we're guinea pigs in the 5G world. And like you said, not enough research is going to be done. And I feel it very strongly. I felt it very strongly as I saw them going up all over the place that it wasn't going to be good, that there was going to be unintended or intended. You know, you never know these days when it comes to money and greed what, you know, they might have science that already says, you know, buried somewhere, because so many times we don't find out until enough bodies stack up and then, you know, the truth comes out. That's what happened with concussion. You know, I mean,
right.
Working in this field that I work in, you know, the NFL knew for decades, you know, before Dr. Amalu and Boston University, and you know, they did the research, and the first three football players that died, and the guy that shot himself in the chest and said, "Look at my brain," and until that came out, and then people were so reluctant to believe it because they've been sold it so hard, you know, and that sport, you know, has been a pastime. And it turned out that, you know, people are still choosing to do that, but as long as they're choosing to do it and they know the facts, if that doesn't bother them, that their employer lied and knew that it would cause them harm invariably, and they want to go for the money and the fame or whatever is driving them to do it, then that's fine. But in that particular example, that doesn't hurt me. You know, they're making a choice for themselves. And in the 5G world, they're making a choice for you and me and everybody else without us knowing it. And I've got the same concern about the windmills, the windmill, that's going to upset the food chain. And again, it's a frequency thing. You know, there have been studies on birds. You know, the birdie's GPS gets out of whack flying around those, our new energy source, you know, these windmill farms that are going up all over the place. And I'm hearing people say the same thing when they drive in proximity, because a lot of times, at least in our area, they're going to smaller towns, a lot of times smaller towns that need money, and they're taking out the cornfields and they're putting up windmill farms. And there's small populations that are looking at the money coming in. And, of course, there hasn't been any disclosure of any possibility that anything might go wrong. And so people aren't aware of that right now. But right. I just feel like that's going to turn into, you know, so many times they don't play the tape all the way through. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
I'm going to use the proverbial they and just say they see what they perceive as a problem, and then they come up with an answer. But they don't play the tape all the way through. A lot of times you're thinking that you're fixing one problem and you're creating a bigger problem, but didn't bother to think about that, you know? Or you did bother to think about it. You know, I'm starting to think that way, and that's even scarier. You know, I think of Agent Orange in Vietnam and then bringing it home and putting it in a container that says Roundup and selling it to us for our backyard, you know. That's with intent. You know, intent is even scarier than somebody just ignorant, willful ignorance, I'll call it. You know,
you have to ask yourself, what drives that? What drives that is power, is greed. You know, there has to be accountability to these actions. You know, Roundup is terrible. You know, find out another way in which you can eradicate weeds in your backyard. Oh my goodness, it's a shame that we live in this world, but. You know, so many decisions and so many policies are the pivot point is money, greed.
Yeah.
And you can't run a world that way. It's the outcome is never advantageous. You can't run a world that way.
Well, they're doing their darndest to try. So then to go back to your answer, again, I apologize for cutting in with talking too much, but when you decided to go with scalar energy as opposed to electromagnetic energy, was there something you saw about electromagnetic energy that you felt that wasn't the road you wanted to go down, or that wasn't beneficial, or on the inverse, just that scalar energy was seemed a lot more cleaner and had an advantage. And here's where your science comes in, because I won't know anything more than posing that question to you. But you did mention it in your notes. So what drove you one way and not the other? Did you perceive a problem, or scalar is just what drew you, the life force? Well, you said God drew you, but
I looked at the consequences of electromagnetic energy. I looked at the full picture, not just the fact that it could provide electrical current to our homes, but I did do my research, as we are now doing our research, with all types of electromagnetic energy, including 5G. And there is a drawback, and you have to at least consider the negative side effects, the drawback. And if that's the case, then we have to start looking for different ways. We have to look for an alternative. That's what scalar energy is. And I see that, and certainly Nikola Tesla saw that. For instance, the electromagnetic realm is a dimension which you will consume the energy. It's not an infinite supply of energy. And the point I'm making is this, that ultimately our model is flawed. Our model is flawed. Why is it flawed? Because we will run out of energy. It is always an infinite, a finite energy source. It's cumbersome. It does pollute. It is dangerous. It has its drawbacks. As opposed to a scalar energy, and this is what Tesla saw, and this is what I see, scalar energy is infinite. It's from the stars. It will never be extinguished. It's the perfect energy. It has not shown to have any biological consequence, adverse effect. It's clean, never leaves a carbon footprint. It cannot, in any way, it cannot produce any type of radiation or chemical or pollutant. It's perfect. It's perfect energy. So now we're finally on track, and now with this energy, we're able to master the elements. We're able to be, if you will, in the driver's seat, and to control this energy, and to have dominion over nature, going back to what Adam and Eve once had, dominion over nature, as opposed to electromagnetic energy, in which we're still subject to nature. So there's so many things to explore here, but what I've seen with my research and with the technology that I've developed, there is no pollution. And it's an infinite source of energy. It will never wear out. So it does not experience entropy. So the bottom line is we're not replacing one energy for another energy and inheriting the same problems. With electromagnetic energy, there is entropy. There is pollution. With scalar energy, it never degrades. It's an infinite supply of energy. And with that in mind, it solves the energy crisis. It solves the energy crisis. Consider what I'm saying. This will solve the energy crisis.
I just really think this is fascinating, and I'm so encouraged by the work that you're doing. And that was a great explanation, because when we talked about light, be it the sun, the stars, but the stars, which haven't come up before, that's a form of energy, as you say, that's always there, and they haven't been harmful to anybody that we know of for as long as man has walked the earth, you know. And so I applaud the work that you're doing. You got to write a book. everyone else does about something, but this is such a promising new field of technology for a treatment modality that isn't harmful.
Right. It is not harmful. I've never had an adverse reaction with people. I've treated infants. You know, again, by way of their photograph, I've treated octogenarians. I never have an unfavorable outcome. And the reason I say that is it's not a chemical. It's non-physical.
Right.
It's pure light. It's the light of God. So you cannot have a chemical reaction. It's not a chemical. You cannot have a physical reaction. It's non-physical. So you put all of that together. It's the perfect treatment modality. You see, we bypass the biochemical processes. We're sending information.
Right.
We're not sending a chemical.
Well, I'm going to be really interested in following you and where this is going. And you've got to know to the audience, for someone to be devoting their life's work to this, you know, the belief is genuine and it makes sense. And a lot of people know about Tesla. A lot of people may not know about this application that you've come up with as a healing modality. And again, you know, as we're on the eve of any day, but, you know, on the eve of Christmas, the time of miracles and renewal and new beginnings coming up, that this is the kind of message that really brings hope for something that will be available. And I, you know, I guess the timing wasn't an accident either, that you happened to be.
It is a message of hope.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
It is a message of hope. People from around the world have come to us and they have said, look, I'm suffering from a viral infection. Well, after we work with their photographs, they report to us, and this is from their firsthand experience, that they're no longer infected with a virus. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're starting to see a distinction between working with a person's photograph, working in the quantum field, and the ability to eradicate viruses. It doesn't matter where you live. You simply send us your photograph, and we can eradicate a virus. We can destroy the herpes virus. We can destroy the HIV virus. So that's our message of hope this Christmas season. We're able to change, if you will, the outcome. We're able to have a favorable impression, and in so doing, that impression, that action is upon microbes, viruses, bacteria, and eradicate those viruses and bacteria, all by working in the quantum realm or the scalar energy spectrum by way of your photograph.
Well, I hope maybe COVID's one of those viruses that you can do something with, because the last 2 years, the things that have looked hopeful maybe they are, but not like we thought. You know, I remember thinking when the vaccine came out, well, everybody did. Yay, you know, everybody's got COVID fatigue and hoped when that vaccine came out that would be the end of it. And it was heartbreaking that we got to have that hope for a couple weeks, you know, before it mutated and the Delta variant came. And, you know, the world's crazy with a lot of things right now, but it's not helping to have that underlying drumbeat of COVID underneath everything else that's going on. So you couldn't do any worse. So get that get that tool out. Maybe those tools you've created and maybe some help can come from there too. If not in the sooner, in the later, because you've got experience with viruses already. So, and I don't think that you'd have the reluctance, you know, that people are having to an experimental vaccine, and it isn't confusing with people sitting on the fence, what should I do? Because when you explain it as you have pure energy, who's not going to try that? It would be like if you offered somebody oxygen to breathe, you know, that where's the downside? Where's the downside of that? You know, that's something to try that you don't have to worry about the side effects. But I want to thank you so much for being here tonight, Tom. And it was just really a pleasure talking with you tonight. And I know the audience will think so too. And I always say that coincidences are God's way of working anonymously. So today when I was looking at the notes and thinking about the science, I thought, well, this is going to be a really interesting interview, but I put it in the show right before Christmas, and I usually do something miracles, something related. As it turns out, it is and it was. And so my faith and hope are unscathed in this, and it was really a pleasure to have you, and I'm going to be watching what you're doing. And again, to the audience, before I let Tom go, check out the website, Scalar Light, and that's scalarlight.com. And again, it's in my program notes. You can find those at braininjuryradio.com or inaflash.org. or anywhere on social media where you might have hit the link. That website is there, and a lot of you out there know how to get a hold of me, and you can take advantage of a 15-day free Scalar Light regime that Tom is offering on his homepage to experience it yourself. So it doesn't hurt to try. I know that a lot of people are frustrated, but as I said, we're entering the time of miracles and new beginnings, and having the opportunity to try something for free that isn't going to hurt you, have a detrimental effect on you, is well worth it. And just real quick, like a couple of the specific programs, although I wasn't going to read this because I don't want to limit it to this, so understand the breadth of the healing is a lot greater than this, but they do have some specific programs. The Standard Scalar Natural Foods Program, Endorphin and Neurotransmitter, Fat Metabolism Program, Addictive Behavior and Chemical Detox, Digestive Enzyme Program, Female Hormone Program, Male Hormone Program, Mineral and Precious Stone. And then again, in those earlier in the program, I read a number of specific conditions. But if that helps you pinpoint where you might benefit from this form of healing a little better, then you have that information. And then be sure to check out the website. And have a Merry Christmas, Tom, and thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it, and I hope you'll stay in touch and let me know what's going on
We're going to change the world with scalar energy for the better. It is a message of hope, and it's God's light. So it will be a benefit to everybody. And I thank you for this time to speak to your audience, Kim.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being here. And you've got my number. So again, Merry Christmas, and thank you for being here, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Good night.
Everybody.
Okay, everybody, that was Tom Palladino. I encourage you to check out his website, scalarlight.com. I'm going to take a break and wish you joy, and then I'll be back. That, of course, was Joy to the World. Speaking of energy healing, like we were earlier, we've talked a lot over the pre-holidays here, and now we're down to it. 2 days, Christmas Eve, 3 days to Christmas. And so those of you who have maybe put a toe in the water, I know there's been a lot of loss and a lot of confusion and a lot of fatigue from the last couple of years. All the politics, all the COVID, all the everything. We can experience the heart of Christmas and the meaning of Christmas over the next couple of days, because then we're off into January and a new year. And these are a few days to really savor. Of course, I'm going to keep the twinkling lights up through the first and enjoy next week as well. But I hope you guys all have a Merry Christmas. I'm going to play a couple more Christmas tunes, but I thought one thing that I would do, some of you might recognize the name Clement Clark Moore, but one tradition, we had a show on traditions a couple weeks ago, and we talked about movies and music and a couple of different things, and one of them is this, if you haven't read it this year. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down our brains for the long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer. With the little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment he must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner, and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away, all. As the leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings and then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." So, stories like that, part of the holiday tradition, and in case you missed it, I hope you could listen. This is Where Are You Christmas? and I'll be back.
For Sarah, my daughter Sarah.
Her soul, but it's not for sure the carols aren't helping, but God bless the snow that quietly buries her sin in the ground as the dark hides a face I can't read. Like she wants to speak freely, but doesn't yet trust me. Like she'd break as soon as she'd begin. Could be guilt, could be anger, or something else altogether. But she tells a full story just by holding it in. And it's times like these I'm reminded why we're still preaching Christ crucified, praising the King who was born to die, that we'd stay alive.
Okay, I'm going to read a little meditation for the day. So often I've held back from risking, yet not understood why. I let fear control my life. Unless I challenge in the present moment my fear of losing love, control, or esteem, I'll lose even more. Today is the only day I have. I will risk telling a significant person how I feel. I will have faith things are unfolding as they should. I will also risk asking for something I have secretly been needing And instead of losing each time I risk, I will ultimately gain. May I remember that to risk nothing is to gain nothing. Today I will remember if I am open, I will gain more than I will ever lose. I'm hoping that for all of you who are challenged this year with Christmas for any number of reasons, that you find peace and joy and wonderment, that wonderment of a child we were talking about earlier, for even a few minutes, and hold that close to your heart, be it in a memory or of the past or something you see. Let that fill your heart a day at a time now through Christmas, and remember the things that are important. I read another meditation today that talked about things not being as we would have them and how we let that ruin the moments that are worth having and remembering, when it's something that we can't change, that's standing in our way or that we're allowing to stand in our way. So with all of my heart, I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and I'll be seeing you next week, where Simon will be back with me for Simon Says, and we'll be looking forward. At that time, can you believe it, by next Wednesday's show, Christmas will be over. So as many of you know, it's been challenging for me this year, and I know a lot of you out there that it's been challenging for. But together, we can enjoy this Christmas. And I really hope that you do, that we do, that we embrace this moment with anything good we can grasp to keep that hope alive. And know that a new beginning is around the corner, but right now is a time to savor the traditions and the love and the blessings that we've been given. With that, I'm going to close with, obviously, we all here at the network, and I wish you a Merry Christmas. Good night and God bless everyone. I'll see you next week.